No one has a greater love than this, to lay one's life down for one's friends. A friend. A term I think we have a hard time coming to grips with in this modern era when we think of a friend as somebody that we have a connection with on Facebook. I think sometimes we may trivialize the word friend, that we may not see it as deep as Jesus sees it in this passage from John. As I said in the children's time earlier, this word that we translate as friend can also be translated as those who are loved. That by choosing to be a friend of Christ, you are choosing to acknowledge that you are loved by Christ. That by choosing to be a friend of your neighbor, you are choosing to recognize that you are loved by your neighbor. So this friendship that Jesus talks about is deeper than just a click on Facebook. But what is so interesting about this passage to me is that being a friend recognizes an equality with the person you are friends with. Jesus is presenting an egalitarian view of the new kingdom. He is showing us that we are equal with Christ in bringing about that new kingdom. And that being a friend may actually be the most inclusive view that we have of love. Now, in other forms of love that we can talk about, especially prevalent amongst the Bible, love between a parent and a child, father and son, mother and daughter. This is an amazing form of love, but it presupposes that there is a power dynamic. The parent has a loving spirit with their child, but they do possess a greater guiding spirit in that relationship. I think often in modern culture, we talk about wanting to be a friend with our children. We talk about wanting to treat our children with mutual respect, but the reality is there is always that power dynamic. The parent knows more than the child does. The parent guides the child in understanding and learning new things. And then we can also look at the love that is shared in a marriage, the love that is shared in a mutual relationship. And we can look at that and see equality between the two partners, even though historically marriage was often the husband buying the rights to marry the wife from her father. But today, we do not look at it that way. We look at it as two people coming together equally, two people choosing to live together in harmony, two lives being made one. But the limitation of that love is that it's exclusive. It is between two people. It is not shared between more. And so even though in the beauty of that equal relationship, there is a semblance of how does that end up being shared amongst all. And so I believe that Jesus is sharing a third way. The way to love as friends. A way to love all equally, that there is no power or exclusivity in that love. Would not the idea of this friendship, the idea of this love, be one that we should see in our own church communities. The idea of choosing to acknowledge all as our friends. Choosing to love each other as God loves us. Choosing to be open and welcoming. There are some in our Christian tradition who have taken this verse to heart. If you've ever had an experience with the Quaker tradition, you know that they actually call themselves the Religious Society of Friends. Their name is pulled from these verses. In the passage from John chapter 15, verse 15, says again, I do not call you servants any longer because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. As a reformed person, as somebody who has studied a Presbyterian seminary, I have trouble with this verse. Because here Jesus is asking me to be an equal partner with him, when I have been way more comfortable with the idea of I am a servant to Christ. Christ is above me. I am below. I do what Christ commands me. Yet here Jesus is saying, you are no longer a servant, you are a friend. And so I struggle with this, because it changes the way I look at my relationship with Christ. But God challenges me to question that holding, challenges me to acknowledge that Jesus said these words. I so loved you, so you should love the world. And in this passage, it also goes on to say that Jesus chose us. We did not choose him. Another slap in my understanding of Reformed faith. The choice of following Christ is huge. Yet here Jesus says, I chose you, you did not choose me. How am I to reconcile a God that says, you are an equal partner with me? Reconcile a God that says, I loved you, I chose you before you chose me. This was the opening moment of my faith. When I saw this aspect, when I started to wrestle with it, I start to understand what grace is. Grace is not something that we achieve. Grace is not something that we earn. Grace is not something that we are going to grasp by our own efforts. Grace is what God sheds us every day, every moment of our life. There is nothing in the world that can separate you from God's grace. We may want to deny it, we may want to say no, but God will continue to break down our walls. And here, God is breaking down my walls about how I look at this new kingdom that Jesus is ushering in during the resurrection. This new idea, this new community, this new view, one in which we are called to be partners with Christ, equals with Christ, and share love with the world. No longer is it me being better than the person that doesn't have. I am now equal with that person. This view became very evident when I started thinking about the idea of baptism. And we were taught in seminary. And something we actually talked about in our confirmation class that we talked about at our retreat this past weekend. In many traditions, in many ideas, the idea of infant baptism is one that is very antithetical to their views. That by having an infant baptism, you are in fact not letting that child choose to be a follower of Christ. You're not giving them the option. You are choosing for them. And in those faith traditions where the choice is the center, that view makes a lot of sense. But in the light of this passage, in the light of that verse where it says that Jesus chose us before we chose him, an infant baptism in our church is a beautiful representation of that view. It is a visual representation that God chooses that child before that child is even able to speak. A visual representation of God's true grace. So how are we to recognize that grace and to do as God calls us to do, which is to love each other as I have loved you? We are to do it in the ways that Jesus shows us in the Bible. When it says that whatever you have done to the least of these, you have done to me, Jesus is asking us to take care of those on the margins. To see the people that are different from us, to see the people on the outsides, to be our equals. To not see have and have not, but to see equal partners in Christ's kingdom. How do we make friends with all? Amen.